Shall we pray together as we think about that passage? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I pray you would come and speak to each one of us by your Spirit this morning. May we receive from you all that you long to give us. Amen. You may well remember that just before Christmas, the Church of England released a 60-second advert featuring different groups of people reciting the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember that in the news stories? It was due to be shown at the cinema immediately before the latest Star Wars film. And although cinema goers get to see sexualized adverts, they get to see adverts for alcohol, gambling websites, and violent video games, the Lord's Prayer advert was banned because it could be regarded as offensive to some. I wonder how you felt about it at the time. Were you one of the people that thought that's completely ridiculous? Or were you one of those people that thought, I don't know, we need to be careful? Perhaps unsurprisingly, people were up in arms about this. Even renowned atheist Richard Dawkins waded on into the argument in favour of the Church of England. This is what he said: "I strongly object to suppressing the ads on the grounds that they might offend people. If anybody is offended by something so trivial as a prayer, they deserve to be offended." Brilliant. So which is it? Is prayer dangerous enough to be banned from cinemas, or too innocuous to warrant any form of offence, let alone censorship? The advertising group who were behind the ban clearly thought the former. The question is, what did they think might happen if people prayed the Lord's Prayer? What did they think might happen if they prayed, "Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done"? Would it really make a difference? Today, as we've heard, is Pentecost Sunday, the day on which we celebrate the Holy Spirit being sent to us. And like many other Christian festivals, it has its roots in a Jewish festival. That's why there were so many Jews gathered in Jerusalem that day. And Pentecost took place 50 days after the Passover festival, and it was a sort of early harvest festival where people brought the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and they were offered to God as a sign of gratitude and also in hopeful expectation of the harvest to come. On the day of Pentecost, the Jews also looked back to their history and they celebrated God giving them the gift of the law, where Moses went up Mount Sinai and the law was given, this gift of a new way of life. So we've got two images at the heart of this festival. We've got the image of a gift and we've got the image of harvest. So this is the occasion on which God chooses to send his Holy Spirit. And I think he chooses to send his Spirit precisely because of those two images, because of the image of gift and the image of harvest. Almost every Sunday in church, we say the Lord's Prayer as part of our worship. And as part of that prayer, we say those lines I just mentioned: "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we say those words, we are asking God to make earth like heaven. We are asking God to transform this world so that it reflects the goodness and the truth and the beauty of God, and so that we reflect the goodness, truth, and beauty of God. On the day of Pentecost, God sends the gift of his Holy Spirit, sent from heaven to earth, to transform Jesus' followers and through them to transform the world, starting in Jerusalem. That day, 3,000 new believers were baptized and joined the early church. They were the first fruits of the harvest. They were a sign of more to come, the gift of the Spirit and the harvest of new believers. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we're praying for God to come in power. That's what we're asking for. We're asking that he would come now in the way that he did at Pentecost, that he would come to complete the work that he started. We're praying for a gift, and we're praying for harvest. You may be aware that this week the Archbishops of York and Canterbury have asked every member of the Church of England to join with them in praying for the evangelisation of the nation. Their hope is that all Christians will have a deeper relationship with Jesus, that each of us will have confidence to share our faith, and that all people would respond to the call of Jesus and choose to follow him. One of the challenges that they've thrown down as part of this call to prayer is for each of us to pray for five people we know that they might have the opportunity to hear something about who Jesus is and to respond. I wonder which five people you would pray for. I suppose what the archbishops want to see happen in our nation is that there would be mini Pentecosts in every single church, in every single parish, that a violent wind would blow through church, although we're Church of England, a sort of middle-of-the-road kind of, not too offensive but strong enough to be noticeable, kind of a breeze might blow through. But no, I think they want to see something extraordinary happen, that the wind of the Spirit would blow through, that each of us would have tongues of fire rest on us, and that somehow we would be moved by the Spirit to speak about Jesus. I wonder how you feel about the images in that story. They are very strong images of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does and how he works. We've got images of a violent wind. That's the word that the Bible reading uses. Images of tongues of fire. We've got this image of all sorts of languages being spoken. And then in the latter part of the reading, there was talk of the sun and the moon and blood and all sorts of things. It was becoming really rather apocalyptic. The Bible uses all sorts of images of the Holy Spirit, and there will be some images that resonate with you and perhaps others that you think, I'm not sure about that. I feel uncertain or uncomfortable. As I was thinking about this morning, I thought of the image of a dandelion clock. Perhaps as a kid, you picked one of those little dandelion clocks on a summer's day, and then you'd blow it and all the seeds would just disperse. But in that wonderful way where you'd blow it and they'd move, but they'd move kind of gently and just be carried on the air. And as I was thinking about what it means for the Holy Spirit to blow through our lives and our church, that's the image that came to mind for me. Not the violent wind, but this breath. But a breath that has an incredible impact. As you breathe onto the dandelion clock, the seeds are cast out. And of course, over time, over days, over a few weeks, those seeds take root and up come more dandelions. If you're a lover of a pristine lawn, you're probably aware how dreadful dandelions are and how far they seed. But I find that a really helpful image because the breath is gentle, but the effectiveness of the breath is extraordinary because seeds are planted all over the place. Last autumn, I put all sorts of bulbs into my garden. I kind of forgot about it, and all kinds of things have come up this spring. I fear I've accidentally weeded a few of them out, even though I paid for them and planted them myself. But when you plant seeds, new life pops up all over the place. And for me, this is a story of the breath of God being breathed over people, seeds being dispersed, and then new life coming up. It's an image of a gift, of breath, and the image of harvest, of growth and flourishing and new life. Each of us are like those dandelion clocks, and as the Holy Spirit fills our lives, we are casting seeds out all over the place that are planting things of goodness all around us in our homes and our families and our streets and our workplaces and the places where we volunteer, the places where we spend leisure time. We're just throwing out seeds of goodness if we are prepared to allow the breath of the Spirit to breathe upon us. The Lord's Prayer was banned from cinemas, and yet this week we've been asked and challenged to pray that prayer again because it really does make a difference. It is a powerful, life-transforming prayer. And Pentecost is just one picture of what happens when we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. It means the Spirit blows through us, that gift, and then life comes from us. I want to finish by doing something fun because Pentecost was a joyful occasion. Let's face it, at 9 in the morning, they were having to defend the fact that they weren't drunk. So, in a moment, I'm going to give each person a balloon. A balloon is a balloon, whether it's inflated or deflated. But actually, it only really fulfills its purpose when it's full of air, when someone has breathed into it. Then it really takes on the shape that it's meant to have, and it can do what it's supposed to do. We only truly fulfill our purpose as humans when we are full of the breath of God and full of the life of God. It gives shape to our lives, the sort of shape that God envisaged when he gave the gift of the law to Moses. When the Spirit fills up our lives take on the shape that God desires them to have. And that is when we become fruitful, flourishing people who plant beautiful things all over the place. So I'm going to give you a balloon, and I'd like you to think about two questions. What do you want God to fill you with? What do you want him to breathe into you? And what do you want God to fill our church with? What do you want him to breathe into us? He promises us the gift of his Spirit, and if we let it blow through our lives, then we will see a harvest. So, have some balloons, share them around, have a go at blowing them up. If your lungs are strong enough to manage it, stick a knot in your balloon. You have my permission to then lob them around the place in an entirely unruly manner. But as you blow it up, what do you want God to fill your life with? What do you want him to fill our church with? Do pass them around. If you want to share your answer with the person next to you, you can. And in a minute, whilst we're all huffing and puffing, I will pray for us. I was waiting for somebody to do the farty thing. So maybe you want your life to be filled up with the presence of God. Maybe you simply need to know that he is still there for you. Maybe you want God to fill up your life with peace because you are living through all sorts of challenges and you need that deep sense of peace that God is in control. Maybe you want to be able to share your faith with others like the apostles did at that first Pentecost. Perhaps you're asking God to fill you with confidence in his Holy Spirit. Perhaps he has put you in a challenging workplace and you want God to equip you with his Spirit to serve him faithfully each day. Could be all sorts of things. You might want your life filling up with love. You might want your life filling up with joy. You may have all sorts of things, just a new lease of life in faith. So I'm going to pray for us whilst we bash our balloons around. Heavenly Father, we pray you would come today by your Holy Spirit. Breathe your life into us. Fill us up so our lives may take on the shape you would have them take on. And may we be like those dandelion clocks, spreading seeds of new life all around us, that your kingdom may come and that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.